Great news from a great company. Ford has announced employee pricing on most models. Now you pay what I would pay. And from one great company to another, Bartow Ford is here to help you get the whole bestest deal with the most money for any trade, best finance offers, best selection, best customer service, and $300 extra towards any aftermarket purchase. When a good deal isn't enough, come get the bestest deal at Bartow Ford. We're different and we prove it.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. So very happy to have you along with us today. Oh, it's also Cinco de Mayo. Are we allowed to celebrate? We may need to get a fact check on that, seeing that we are just gringos here on the Todd Starnes radio program. Nevertheless, we never turn away a good taco or a burrito or one of the delicious, what do they make at tableside at our favorite place, Babaloo's, the guacamole. Nothing wrong with that. All right, good to have you with us today, ladies and gentlemen. And again, commence your celebrations for Cinco de Mayo. Careful on the margaritas. Make sure you have a designated driver. We start today, and man, do we have a lot of stuff to get through. I want to start with President Trump, or dare I say Pope Donald I. So over the weekend, there was a big controversy. I'm not quite sure what the problem here is. But a lot of people are very upset because President Trump, and this goes back to a question that was asked last week. A reporter asked who the president believes should be pope. Well, by the way, the president is not Catholic, so what does he care? I'm not Catholic. Well, I hope you guys get somebody who is conservative and believes in God. But as far as anything else, well, that's up to you Catholics. I guess the conclave is getting they're putting up the smokestack. And then over the weekend, the president said, and in the course of the interview, the president said, well, you know what, maybe I should be the pope. And so then the president posted a photograph, and I think most of the world has seen it by now, of the president in pope garb. And I will say this, and I'm only speaking from the Protestant point of view here, so I don't mean to create some sort of a holy war on the Todd Starnes radio show, but President Trump looked mighty popish to me. I don't know if that's the correct word, the terminology they use at Vatican City, but he looked very pope-like. It was a good look for Donald Trump. I'm just telling you. So anyway, the president was just having a little bit of fun. There are other memes going around that show the smokestack at Vatican City, where orange smoke was coming out of the top, meaning that they had, you know, the cardinals had selected Pope Donald I to be the next leader of the Catholic Church. So again, I did you take this seriously, ladies and gentlemen? Is there anybody in the audience that was offended by this? Because a lot of people got offended. A lot of people are, dare I say, butt hurt over this. And they're suggesting the president was insensitive to the pope, that the president was mocking the Catholic faith. I didn't pick up any of that. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, when you look at President Trump, he's been pretty kind to the Catholic people. So anyway, MSDNC, they had a full-blown meltdown over this AI-generated photo of Donald Trump being Pope, cut 11.
No respect for any religion except himself.
And ultimately, this is about propaganda, right? And I think Ruth Bingham made this point earlier in the show, which I think is very important. You know, even if they do this in jest, and J.D. Vance came out and said that this is a joke or he can take this as a joke, he ultimately is pushing the boundaries of what we think is acceptable, normal, joking behavior. Donald Trump is not a comedian. And for me, where I draw the line is, look, if he makes this offensive comment, as a private citizen on his own private individual account, so be it. But the problem is that it gets reposted by the official White House account. That is your account, my account, everyone's account. That is our taxpayer dollars that are paying for it. The White House official social media account should not be mocking American Catholics or Catholics around the world, but certainly not American Catholics who are going through a period of mourning right now and whose tax dollars should not be used to mock their religion in any way, shape, or form.
And earlier today, you were talking about some of the hypocrisy here. There was a lot of Sturm und Drang about the use of the Last Supper during the
Paris Olympics. They were offended by that, but this one, they were
fine. Well, I can guarantee you the attention.
Yeah, because the Paris Olympics were literally mocking the Catholic faith. I see nothing mocking about Donald Trump's photograph. Wow, he really is the gold, I think. It really does bring out the, it brings out the features in his face. I'm just saying it. I just don't see it. I don't see the mockery. Now, if you want to talk about mockery, well, let's talk about Gretchen Whitmer, the governor of Michigan, who was seductively eating Doritos as she was mocking communion, the wafers. I mean, if you want to have that conversation, or all of the, you've got the Last Temptation of Christ, and how many times have we seen, you got the, well, what was it, the Mary in the dung, in the poop? And then you had the crucifix of Jesus in the urine. Now, that offended everybody except for the media who just worshiped. Oh, it's beautiful. It's art. Oh, my goodness. Oh, the art and the depth of the nature of this. Oh, yes, we love the art. All right. Well, looks to me like Mary in a stuffed into poo. But that's what they call art. It's the emotion of it. The emotion. Do you feel it? No, but I can smell it. Because Mary's in poo. But again, that was okay with the media. They didn't care about that. But the idea that Donald Trump is posting this photo. And by the way, I would disagree with the MSDNC guy. I think he has a wicked sense of humor, and dare I say this, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think many on the left actually have a funny bone. I really don't. So anyway, now the Catholic bishops are all upset, very upset. The New York State Catholic Conference writing this, there is nothing clever or funny about this image, Mr. President. We just buried our beloved Pope Francis. Oh, the communist. All right, our condolences. And again, we don't mock. Look, I mean, the guy's dead, but he was a bad pope. Sorry. May you rest in peace. But he was a communist. Let me continue. We just buried our beloved Pope Francis, and the cardinals are about to enter a solemn conclave to elect a new successor of St. Peter. Do not mock us. Do not mock us. All right. I just don't think he... Are we mocking him? I just don't think so. Yahoo News reporting. Oh, this is the Daily Beast reporting. Trump, a non-Catholic, posted an AI-generated image of himself in papal white robes and a gilded mitre. The White House's official X account later shared the post. I think that's where a lot of people are upset, is that the official White House account shared this. Asked earlier this week who should replace the late Pope Francis, who died last month, Trump joked it should be him. However, he later suggested that it could be New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan. I must say we have a cardinal that happens to be out of place called New York who's very good, so we'll see what happens. Dolan is the leader of New York's Conference of Bishops. He condemned Trump over the post. Dolan said that Trump is a great friend of his, but still. The Archdiocese of New York, the state's Conference of Bishops, and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops did not immediately respond to the Daily Beast's request for comment. So now they're looking, they're searching, they're lurking for anybody who might find this distasteful. I'm just at a loss here. I don't understand what all the hullabaloo is about. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So can we talk about NPR for just one quick second here, a National Public Welfare Radio? So there is a huge and you can expect this. There will be a lawsuit filed, and a federal judge will once again declare himself to be president of these great United States and reinstate the federal funding. Now, I want you to hear this. So locally in Memphis, Tennessee, we have one of these anti-America propaganda channels, WKNO, and they were being interviewed by the local news rag. And they admitted that one third of their funding comes from federal grants. One third. So, folks, it's really the tip of the iceberg and how much federal money is being used to prop up these NPR and PBS channels. So Congressman Brandon Gill was out there explaining why it was necessary to defund these organizations. The congressman, by the way, Congressman Gill, the son-in-law of our good friend Dinesh D'Souza. Take a listen.
I'm a member of the DOGE Subcommittee of Oversight. We were tasked with finding waste, fraud, and abuse in the federal government and highlighting it. And one of those that we found, which Republicans and conservatives have talked about for decades, is state-sponsored media in the United States. China and North Korea have state-sponsored media. The United States does not need state-sponsored media. Listen, if Fox News or any other conservative news organization came to me and asked for taxpayer money, I would tell them no. And I certainly don't think we should be funding left-wing propaganda outlets like NPR or PBS. I had a hearing just a couple weeks ago where I got to question the head of NPR and ask her about some of the wild, outrageous things that she had been posting on the internet for the whole world to see, and she had no answer for that. The American people are sick of funding institutions who promote values that they find repugnant, and that's what we're doing with NPR and PBS. And that's what we are hopefully soon, via a rescission bill, going to pull those funds back.
Yeah, good for you, sir. So, look, Jonathan Capehart was on one of the channels over the weekend, and he's pitching a hissy fit and saying that Trump's defunding of PBS and NPR is a fundamental attack on the Constitution. Listen to this.
But I think what the president is doing, you know, it is a fundamental attack on our Constitution, on the foundation of this country. People need to understand and remember, there is only one profession that is protected in the Constitution, and it is the free press. It is the press. And why? Because the founders understood that the survival of a democracy depends on an informed citizenry. And the citizenry can only be informed by a press that can report and do, you know, report on the affairs of the republic free and unfettered. And whether they are, you know, come from the left or from the right, the government should not interfere with that reporting. And so when you have a president of the United States who is making it his mission to attack the free press, we should all be concerned whether we are at PBS or whether we are at MSNBC, because he's focused on us too.
Okay, so a couple of things here. This guy's a moron. There is no such thing as a free press. As a matter of fact, NPR and PBS are paid for by our tax dollars. So it's costing us an arm and a leg, and we can't afford arms or legs or even spleens anymore, right? We got nothing more to give these people. Not a single penny. And by the way, MSDNC, you know what? You guys are in hot water only because you guys have a horrible product and nobody is watching. So let's go back to what the Constitution says, and I want to make sure that we get this right here. The First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press. So what does that mean? Well, it means, well, let me tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we have to go out there and use our tax dollars to create a government-sponsored news agency like NPR or PBS. What the First Amendment does allow is for you or me or anyone else to go out there and start our own news organization. That's what it means. It means that Todd Stearns can go out there and Todd Stearns can go and buy a radio station and put on programming and content. And if you like that programming or content, you buy advertising to support that content. And if you don't, well, you don't. But you have a choice. NPR and PBS, they don't give us a choice. We are having to fund their anti-American propaganda. And I enjoy a good British period drama as next as the next person, but the reality is there's already a venue for that. It's called the BBC. Hello? I'm just telling you. All right, we got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. Our telephone number, that's 901-260-5926. You know what I want to see happen today, Dylan? This is what I want to see happen. This will make my Cinco de Mayo. I want to see President Trump get up there in front of the entire White House press corps. And whenever he's calling on somebody, he is like, Peter Ducey, Fox News. Yes, my child. He's got to come out wearing a rope. He's just got to. We'll be right back. America doesn't need barbed wire or secret police to lose freedom. All it takes is silence. Live Not by Lies is a gripping docuseries by Angel Studios that reveals how soft totalitarianism is creeping into everyday life. Through powerful stories from people who lived under communism, it warns of what happens when we surrender truth for safety. This is a must-watch for anyone who loves faith, family, and freedom. Stream the series now, only on Angel Guild by visiting angel.com/Starnes. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I've just received word from our friends within the Southern Baptist Convention. They're going to be meeting in Dallas in June to select the next leader of the Southern Baptist Convention. Crews there, from what I understand, I'm just getting this intel, and crews there are now, they're installing the Holy Smoker, and apparently when the white smoke begins to billow, it means that we have a new Southern Baptist Convention president, and apparently the ribs are also done. So you get a twofer there. Oh, there you go. That's very helpful. Let's go to the phone lines. Louie in Gainesville, Georgia. Hi, Louie. What's on your mind?
Well, Todd, I talked to the little lady on the phone, and she said that I was allowed to make the statement on the radio that my Holy Father is in heaven, and on his right-hand side is seated his Son that shed his blood and died and paid for my sins, and he does not have to be reelected when somebody here on earth dies. I hope it's okay to make that statement on the radio.
Well, it's too late now. No, you're good, Louie. You're good.
Amen. Amen.
I'll talk to the little lady working the mic, working the phones. Louie, God bless you. Thank you for that. Dylan, did he call? He called Miss Cassie. Miss Cassie's the little lady.
Yeah, she's the little lady in the phones.
We've got to get her a T-shirt.
It's a promotion.
It is. Wow. I'm gonna hear about this in the break, aren't I? Yeah, that's what's going to happen. All right. Hey, tight, everybody. We got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Look, Marjorie Taylor Greene's really upset. Republicans in the House and the Senate dragging their feet on the president's agenda, and she's calling them out. We'll talk about that coming up. But first, we got to check in with the little lady, man on the phones. Hey, tight, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was... We needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheets $69.98. And they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 six-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have six of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. Welcome back, everybody. Happy to have you with us. So Congresswoman Nancy Mace is on a one-woman crusade. And, you know, she was sending her son off to college. And when they were filling out all of the paperwork, they realized that there were more than two gender options available. As a matter of fact, in some cases, there were 15. It depended on which school, but they were all of various genders. There were definitely more than two. Then she discovered that Furman University was also involved, which is kind of shocking because Furman was a former Baptist school turned a Christian school turned. I don't know what it is now. But anyway, Nancy Mace hopped on my Newsmax show, and we really had a very fascinating conversation about what's going on here and what's happening in South Carolina universities. Let's take a listen.
Congresswoman Nancy Mace joins us right now. You know, I think a lot of people are surprised that this kind of nonsense is going on in the Palmetto State of all places.
Well, in a bright red conservative state of South Carolina, it's happening everywhere. The first, it was the University of South Carolina with 13 genders on a dorm application. And then come to find out a few weeks later, I was wrong. Clemson had 15 genders, and none of the 15 genders on their form had male or female. They had like something like cisgender male, cisgender female. And I don't even know what that means. That's not science. You know, when you see this happening, and I'm working on this week, I found out that Furman University allows biological men into their dorm rooms, into locker rooms, into showers with biological women. And I've heard now recently, I found out information about Coastal Carolina University in South Carolina promoting cross-dressing on the college website. You know, so this stuff is happening in bright red states, and a lot of times our state legislatures, our governors, our lieutenant governors, our attorney generals, they've turned a blind eye to women and girls, and this is going on all across the country. And I'm just saying, not on my watch. I'm putting a stop to it at Clemson, University of South Carolina, Coastal Carolina, Furman, any South Carolina college university. If you're doing this, you should be defunded immediately.
Yeah, 1,000%. And if you can look into this pansexual stuff, God help us. We got to protect the cast iron skillets. I don't know what the heck's going on.
I don't even know what
there.
That means. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. It's I give up. Look, here's what gets me. You have come under fierce attack here, and it is very troubling. Really, the lack of outrage over the attacks that are being directed at you and some of these nut jobs. I'm really concerned about your safety as you're out there standing up for these young ladies.
I am too, because it comes with a cost. It comes with a price. And I actually received more death threats than our governor, than our U.S. senators here in South Carolina. And I don't get a detail. So when we talk about the trans people that are totally unhinged, that are mentally ill, they want to kill me because I want to protect women and girls. And it is unsafe for me. We've seen multiple videos, especially over the last 2 weeks or so, where, in fact, one man in a dress picked up a potted plant and was going to throw it at me until my security team came in and got involved. And so we've had a lot of death threats. We get them every day. We've had bomb threats. It's unsafe. And to me, this isn't just the far left anymore. This is mainstream Democrat Party. Look what they did with Jack Posobiec the other day. He was at a rally that Jamie Raskin was having, and he got assaulted for asking one question. And so these are issues that conservatives, when you get in a room, the left, Democrats, mainstream Democrats, want to physically assault you and harm you.
Yes, they do. As a matter of fact, Raskin stood there with a megaphone and did absolutely nothing to stop that mob. Yep. Not a single thing. Shame on that man.
Yep. Shame on him. All but right, good thing that Jack is okay. So we're appreciative of that, too.
Yeah, he is. He is. Well, he can take care of him. So he's a good guy. I've got to talk about what happened in your state today. Vice President J.D. Vance there. You spent a good part of the day there. Lee Zeldin touring a steel facility in Berkeley County. This has got to be exciting to see these America First initiatives making an impact there in your home state.
Well, America First is South Carolina First, and we have a huge steel manufacturing facility in my home county at Berkeley County, South Carolina. So we were truly and deeply honored to have the Vice President of the United States in Charleston, South Carolina today with Lee Zeldin. I've been working with the EPA and the White House on ways that we can use backup generator energy, for example. So it was good to see Lee Zeldin today because the EPA is working to roll back some of the policies that Biden and Obama did that hurt American energy producers. So to be a part of this today was huge. It's huge for South Carolina. And of course, we are first in the South in any presidential election in 2028. If you win South Carolina, you go on to win the nomination for president of the United States. So smart move by J.D. Vance to be here today.
All right. That was a little bit of the interview I did with Congresswoman Nancy Mace on Newsmax. Now, I will say something about Furman. It's just really shocking that this is happening at a Christian university there where they're allowing boys into the girls or young men into the locker rooms and the shower facilities and the dorm rooms of these girls. And I remember our family has roots in South Carolina. That's where all of my people originally came from. And several of the campus buildings are named after Stearns family members. We had a number of sports stars that played at Furman, and it's just a shocking thing to know that a once great Baptist school has now gone full-blown woke and has embraced this radical sex and gender garbage. All that to say, even if you send your child to a Christian school, you better do your homework because it may not be a Christian school that you think of, like a Liberty University or a West Coast Baptist College. It may be a CINO school. That would be a Christian in name only school. That's the concern I have. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. And yeah, they've got to get Nancy Mace some protection there because these transgender people are slap crazy nuts. So look, this story out of Michelle Obama's podcast. I have never seen a more miserable human being than Michelle Obama. Never. And she's always, always playing the victim card. Now, Michelle Obama was doing an interview the other day, and she was complaining about how expensive it was to live in the White House. Take a listen.
It's expensive to live in the White House. As many people don't know, I mean, much is not covered. You're paying for every food, every bit of food that you eat. You're not paying for housing and the staff in it, but everything, even travel. If you're not traveling with the president, if your kids are coming on a Bright Star, which is the first lady's plane, we had to pay for their travel to be on the plane. It is an expensive proposition, and you're running for 2 years and not earning an income.
All right. So let's break this down. First of all, the Obamas. So before Barack Hussein Obama was elected to the White House, he was worth, both of them together, were worth about $1.3 million. All right. So when Obama got elected, he was making $400,000 a year. That was his salary in the White House. And Michelle Obama is enraged over all of this. Now, she's saying that it was really a, she's almost, well, she's not really suggesting it. She's telling us that it was almost a punishment for her husband to be elected. It was a chore. They begrudgingly went through all of this. Now, keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, it's not as if they did this just to the Obamas. It's been a longstanding policy that when you are elected president, you are required to pay for certain things out of your pocket. For example, your own food, your own toiletries, a lot of those things you have to provide. The American people pick up the tab for everything else. All of the servants, all of the fancy dinners, all of that stuff we take care of. But instead of being grateful, Michelle Obama is out there whining and moaning about how she was put upon. Now, I find this really rich because she still believes that she is a victim here, even though, and this is where it gets interesting. They were worth $1.3 million. Her husband serves two terms in office, and now the Obamas are worth $70 million. How did that happen? $70 million. You know, it just seems to me that Barack and Michelle Obama could have set a national example. They were supposed to usher in this post-racial America, right? But they realized that the bigger money is in the race division, the race agitator community. And if they could become professional race agitators along the ilk of, say, Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton, then there's bigger money in that. And that's exactly the path they decided to go down. And it's pretty terrible, to be honest with you, and pretty shameful, but it's just downright sad. I mean, they've had every single thing handed to them. I mean, they have had an amazing life, and they have an amazing life. They can do whatever they want to do. They can go wherever they want to go. They want to travel. They can go to Monte Carlo. They can go to London. They can just pick up. They don't even have to take a regular airplane. They don't have to take Spirit Airlines. They can take a private plane. I don't think Spirit goes to Monte Carlo, but you get the point. But they have literally every single thing that any American would ever hope or dream for. And for what? I mean, Barack Obama did nothing. He was a community organizer. That was his professional job. As a matter of fact, in another podcast, Michelle Obama goes out and talks about how she really had to there was a thought process involved in whether or not she should actually marry a poor man like Barack Obama. So she's in it for the money. By the way, may I just ask a brief question here? And I don't mean to be rude, but she's the one putting this out there. She talks about calling herself a man the other day in a podcast, and everybody thought that was a faux pas. And then the other day, she talks about how she is transitioning. And is she trolling us here, ladies and gentlemen? Or is there a pronoun in transition happening? But that's just kind of weird, right? It's just weird. The whole thing is weird. Anyway, this woman hates America. I think she hates her life. I think she hates being married to Barack. And I just think that maybe, just maybe, she's been living a lie her whole life, and now she's wanting to just pop right out of that closet. Political closet. Metaphorical speaking. I don't know. I don't know what to make of this. I really don't. But she's the one out there saying that she's been transitioning. And my question would have been, and again, these people, they sit down and they're doing these podcasts, and the people doing the podcast do not know how to listen, and they don't know how to ask the follow-up questions. What are you transitioning from, and to what, Mr. Obama? That's what I would have asked. So anyway, there you have it. Michelle Obama, she wants you to feel sorry for her, ladies and gentlemen, because she had to live in the White House. Do you feel sorry for Michelle Obama, ladies and gentlemen? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Let's be real. Life happens. Kids spill. Pets shed. And accidents are inevitable. That's why you need a washable sofa that can keep up. Our sofas are fully machine washable, inside and out, so you can say goodbye to stains and hello to worry-free living. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, they're kid-proof, pet-friendly, and built for everyday life. Plus, changeable fabric covers let you refresh your sofa whenever you want. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa anytime to fit your space, whether it's a growing family room or a cozy apartment. Plus, they're earth-friendly and trusted by over 200,000 happy customers. Starting at just $699, it's time to upgrade to a stress-free, mess-proof sofa. Visit washablesofas.com today and save. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
By the way, I want to give a big shout out here to some wonderful people in Memphis, Tennessee. I was honored to be invited to MC a huge event at the Great Agricultural Center. It was the Mid-South Gift of Life, and the money raised all benefited Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. And we had hundreds of people, I think 500 or 600 people turned out, great bluegrass band. It was just a good, old-fashioned good time for a great cause, and we appreciate the great work that the Mid-South Gift of Life people are doing, providing a much-needed heart surgery for children, and that is an issue that is near and dear to my heart. So I want to thank all of you folks, and a lot of our listeners on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. You guys came out and were a part of the big event. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Rick in Cedar Falls, Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Rick. What's going on?
Well, I just wanted to let you know today is Square Root Day.
Is it really?
Yeah, you take the month, the day, and the year, 5/5/25. Thank you. And it's a square root day. The next square root day is going to be 6/6/36. Next one after that, 7/7/49, so on and so forth.
So, Rick, how do you commemorate, how do you celebrate Square Root Day?
It's just a fun thing. I mean, you know, I heard it on, Jeff Stein said it on the radio, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. So I've been texting and Facebooking and stuff like that.
Oh, no.
Pretty cool.
No, I think it is cool. But, I mean, if you were asking me, all right, are we going to celebrate Square Root Day or Cinco de Mayo, I think maybe the margaritas might trump the square roots.
Yeah. Well, we had Pi Day, which was 3/14.
Oh, that well, Pi Day. Yeah, well, that's of course. Yeah. I mean, everybody loves pie. Who doesn't love pie?
Well, our church gave out pies on that Sunday to people, and it was pretty great. The cherry pies were good. Oh my goodness, they were good.
Anyway, I love that.
I just thought maybe I'd let you know that.
Well, thank you, Rick. I certainly appreciate that, and thank you for calling in, and thanks for educating us, ladies and gentlemen. In addition to Cinco de Mayo, it is Square Root Day. Maybe that's where you eat the root vegetables, like a rutabaga or. Yeah, I don't know. I know that doesn't work for me. All right, 901-260-5926. Gavin Newsom, we're going to play some audio for you in the next hour of the program. But Gavin Newsom is trying to redefine himself, and he's working on a rebrand. So now Newsom is coming out, and he's saying, you know what? We lost. The Democrats lost the popular vote. The Democrats lost the electoral vote. We got crushed. And he said, we need to understand why. Was it because of inflation? Was it because of interest rates? Was it because of immigration? Was it because we were too woke? On that note, you have the sheriff, the longtime Democrat sheriff of Los Angeles County, Alex Villanueva. And I believe he's going to be on my Newsmax show tomorrow night. He just announced he was leaving the Democrat Party and joining the Republicans. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, why is it that the Democrats lost in November. Why is it that they got crushed at the ballot box? Curious to hear your thoughts on that. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, Jasmine Crockett back in the headlines, and she was a commencement speaker. We cannot let this woman anywhere near the children of America. Anybody who has an impressionable brain and mind, they don't need to be anywhere around Jasmine Crockett. We're going to play some crazy audio from her bizarre speech. Also, head over to ToddStearns.com right now, and you'll be able to download our free podcast and our free newsletter. Great resources for you. You can check those out right now. All right, everybody, hang tight. Hour two of the big show coming up. We'll be right back, America.
Celebrate mom at Shoe Station's continued grand opening celebration this weekend. Head into the Shoe Station at Lakeland Park Center in Lakeland for exclusive weekend deals, giveaways, and special treats for mom. Shop all the brands you love and more while celebrating mom this weekend at Shoe Station in Lakeland.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Hour two of the big show. I'm Todd Starnes. Happy to have you along for the conversation today. Coming up a little bit later this hour, we're going to jump into the some issues within the Republican conference. Marjorie Taylor Greene pretty fired up, and she's saying that the House of Representatives and the Senate are both dragging their feet when it comes to moving through President Trump's agenda, and we'll explain why that could be problematic in the short term, not necessarily the long term, but the short term. So we'll get into more of that. The other big story we're following here is the former First Lady, Michelle Obama. And Michelle Obama is out there, and she's all very upset about a lot of stuff. We're going to play two clips here. First of all, she's upset because she had to pay for things in the White House. Take a listen.
It's expensive to live in the White House. As many people don't know, I mean, much is not covered. You're paying for every bit of food that you eat. You're not paying for housing and the staff in it, but everything, even travel. If you're not traveling with the president, if your kids are coming on a Bright Star, which is the First Lady's plane, we had to pay for their travel to be on the plane. It is an expensive proposition, and you're running for 2 years and not earning an income.
Well, so we did a little bit of homework here, and it turns out that Michelle Obama back in 2018 had a very different take on this. As a matter of fact, she was on Little Jimmy Kimmel's show, and she told Little Jimmy Kimmel that it was an honor to be able to live in the White House. And at that point, she thought everything was fair. She thought the rule was fair. Quote, rent is free, staff is free. We should not be mooching off of the taxpayers. But now Mrs. Obama, who is a multimillionaire many times over, seems to think that it's okay to mooch off the taxpayers. And it's not just the Obamas. Every president has had to do the same thing they did. They all had the same rules. Nobody got carved out. Nobody's punishing Michelle Obama. But this woman is so incredibly ungrateful. I want to go to the phone lines here. Quinn, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920 in Houston. Quinn, what do you make of Michelle Obama?
Hi, Todd. I want to tell you I love your show.
Well, thank you.
Well, you know, tell her, shut up, don't come lying, quit whining. She ought to be grateful and thankful what she had. The million American people would love to live in her shoes. Stop, go around, come Langley. That's all I got to tell her. She ought to be grateful what she had.
I don't. I don't get it, Quinn. You know, if you remember back when she was running, or her husband was running for office the first time, she was not proud to be an American. She did not love her country then.
Well, then she needs to move where she belongs, and I love America. I'm not from here, but I love every bit of it. This is the American dream that I lived through. So, if she, there are a lot of Democrats hate America. I watch the show. I'm very big in politics, to be honest with you. I don't miss much in anything. I'm so sick of the Democrats. Keep go complaining. Just shut up and move on.
Now, Quinn, tell me, where are you from?
I am from Vietnam. I lived here for 50 years.
50 years.
And I love every bit of it.
Mm. What do you love about America, Quinn?
Well, the opportunity. The American people are very honest. They're not racist at all. I owned a business in the past for 23 years. Don't go around and tell me that the American races. That is lying. That is wrong. The American love everybody. They're very open-minded. They give everybody a chance to live the American dreams. I'm going to write a book about this. I'm working on it.
Quinn, I want to read that book. I bet it'd be pretty tremendous. 50 years. And you said you owned a business. What kind of a business did you own, Quinn?
I am sell louder clothing. It's called FRC, Five Retailing Clothes, and Western wear included.
Well, it gets hot in Texas, so that comes in handy, I reckon. You don't want your clothes to just spontaneously combust, right?
Yeah, you know, people work on a plan like Exxon and things that. They have to have it. And I'm very big with Michael Berry show. Mm. You know who he is.
Oh, yes, yes. So, Quinn, let me ask you this, though. I mean, again, so many young people, they're wanting everything handed to them. It sounds like you pulled yourself up by the bootstraps and just went right to work.
Yes. I'm going to tell you, Todd, the story. I come on this America, I got $100 bill in my pocket. I come here 1974, October the 20th.
Wow.
So you don't tell me. There are no opportunity here to make a living or be a millionaire if you choose to be.
What's the secret sauce, though? What is it? What did it take to get where you are, Quinn?
Work hard, be honest, treat everybody as fair.
Quinn, you sound like a great lady, and I want you to give us a holler back one of these days. I like the way you think.
Yeah, Michael Berry, I own a show with him quite often back in the days. Yeah, but yeah, I will do that. You know, I'll try to call you quite a few times, but on the way to the doctor, middle of the road, so I couldn't get through it. But today, I am getting ready to go to the doctor. I have a little time. I say, you know what? I want to say something to Michelle Obama.
Quinn, I'm glad you did. Well, thank you for calling, and I hope you get a good report there from the doctor. And we'll look forward to talking to you again. How about that? I love it. Again, here you have, and what a great American success story. Quinn came here from Vietnam. She said, what, in October of 1974, she had a $100 bill in her pocket. That's all she had. And now, 50 years later, she's gone on and she's got this wonderful business. She's been very successful, probably has a great family. We didn't ask her about that, but she's living the American dream. And she said that America is not a racist country, that this is a country where people are honest. They speak to you honestly and openly. You come here, you work hard, and you're going to have a fighting chance of doing something with your life. And I love that. But here's the other part of that Michelle Obama comment where she talks about white flight and how that created great pain in her life. Take a listen, Cut 13.
But unbeknownst to us, we grew up in the period, as I write, called white flight. Yeah. That as families like ours, upstanding families like ours, you know, who were doing everything we were supposed to do and better, as we moved in, white folks moved out because they were afraid of what our families represented. And I always stop there when I talk about this out in the world because, you know, I want to remind white folks that y'all were running from us, you know, because...
This family.
Yeah. This family, with all the values that you read about,
yeah,
you were running from us, and you're still running, because we're no different than the immigrant families that are moving in, the families in Pilsen, the families that are coming from other places to try to do better.
Yeah.
But because we can so easily wash over who we really were because of the color of our skin, you know, because of the texture of our hair, mm-hmm. you know, that's what divides countries.
Artificially as well.
Artificial things that don't even touch on the values that people bring to life. And so, yeah, I feel a sense of injustice. And you know this when you're young. You know people are running from you, you know? And you can see it. You can see it all of a sudden. Because we grew up with friends of all races. When we first moved in, Rachel Dempsey and Susan Yacker and I, you know, you had friends of all races. We played together. There were no gang fights. There were no territorial battles. But yet, one by one, they packed their bags and they ran from us. And they left communities in shambles.
All right. I've got a lot to unravel here. But I hate to make this pronouncement about somebody, but sometimes you just have to speak truth to the culture. This woman is a racist. This woman hates white people. You can hear the seething in her voice. I mean, so let's unpack what Michelle Obama is talking about here. And by the way, she says that you white people, you left your neighborhoods in shambles and you fled because you didn't want to live next to black people. Now, I know a little something about this, and I'm going to share from a personal experience, and I'm very curious to hear of your experiences because many of you were living in very nice, well-kept, middle-class neighborhoods, and then you fled those neighborhoods. Now, she was talking about Chicago's South Side, and Michelle Obama wants you to believe that the reason why all the white people left Chicago's South Side is because of the texture of her hair. Now, I want some evidence of that. I want somebody somewhere to show me the proof that white people literally packed up and left their homes, and they packed up the station wagons and they got out of Chicago's South Side because of Michelle Obama's hair. Somebody prove that to me. I want to see the proof of that. You can't just make those kinds of statements without having anything to back it up. Now, when you go back and actually look at the historians, and I went back and looked about white flight. And I want to share this with you because, again, Michelle Obama is making this a national news story. The truth about white flight in Chicago had everything to do with the riots after Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Neighborhoods, entire neighborhoods and business communities were being burned to the ground. There were riots. Now, Mrs. Obama says that the whites who abandoned the South Shore had motives as obvious as they were ugly. They chose to relocate because they were afraid of what our families represented. She said the whites who fled did more than wound feelings. She said they left communities in shambles and they disinvested. By the way, she wrote about a lot of this in her memoir called Becoming. But the fact of the matter is that while Chicago's South Side was 96% white in 1950 and 96% black in 1980, the reason why is because of all the violence that came. Now, I know a little something about this because my family, when they came to Memphis, Tennessee, this was back in the 1930s, the 1920s, the 1930s. And they settled in a community called White Haven, which at that point was an overwhelmingly white middle class neighborhood. some upper middle class homes, but predominantly working class, middle class folk. And then the riots came in the late 1960s and the early 70s, things started to change. And I can tell you that as the demographics changed, the crime rose exponentially. So much so that my grandparents, they were robbed twice. Their home was robbed twice. They pulled up one Sunday, and this was the last straw for my grandparents. They pulled up to their home after church on Sunday to find their other car being driven out of the driveway by these carjackers. And what did they do? They said, you know what? We're done here. We're done. As a matter of fact, when you look at northern Mississippi, which has well over 100, 200,000 people, most of those people were fleeing the violence in war-torn Memphis. Why is that the fault of the white families? Why should they be subjected to that? By the way, the same, and when they left beautiful homes, beautiful neighborhoods. It's all gone now. All of it's gone. But why is that the fault of people like Michelle Obama wanting to blame my grandparents? Why is that the fault of my grandparents who are victims of crime in their own home? The idea that this was all done out of racism is outrageous. It was done out of safety. But there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle Obama, that is not a very kind individual right there. And this is a woman who is a bitter person. And I don't get it because she's been given everything handed to her on a silver platter, and yet it is still not good enough. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
Are you tired of waiting 6 months for a medical appointment? Not with us. Here at Pineapple Healthcare, we offer same-day in-person or online appointments for primary care, STI, HIV, testing, treatment, and prevention. Because anything can happen at any time. Visit us in Orlando, Lakeland, or New Kissimmee location. Call 407-553-6336 or book an appointment on our website, pineapplehealthcare.com. Because at Pineapple Healthcare, we are better together.
All right, welcome back. By the way, how about that Kentucky Derby? Sovereignty beat journalism, as it should every time. Well done. Let's go to Youngstown, Ohio, our terrific affiliate out there, 97.7 FM. Mike, what's on your mind?
Hey, just want to let you guys know, we will never let Trump implement his plan. You better stock up on ammo, just like you said in your little commercial just now, because I promise you, we are not going to let you take over this country, and we're not going to let you hurt any more innocent people. How about that fellow yesterday? He ran that cop down and killed his son. What do you think about that?
What are we talking about here, Mike? You kind of lost me.
Well, you know what? Let's just stick with one thing at a time. How do you feel about that cop who got ran down in Ohio the other day for shooting an unarmed kid?
I have no earthly. You know, it's really a shame. We've got people like Mike, and I don't know about his upbringing. Clearly, his mother did not raise him right. And Mike, your mother must be really appalled at the language coming out of your mouth, sir. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, you heard Mike. He sounds like one of these guys, and there are a lot of them out there. They're like these raging beta males, and they can't, first of all, most of them live in their parents' basements, and they're all Democrat. They have no lives. And these are the people that are the dangerous ones. These are the ones that go out there, and you got to worry about these guys going around causing this domestic terrorism. People like Mike here from Ohio. Very strange, very strange. All right, we got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to be playing some audio from Jasmine Crockett. And Jasmine Crockett is on President Trump's radar now. As a matter of fact, President Trump believes that Jasmine Crockett could very well be the next leader of the Democrat Party. And, man, is she off the charts insane? Well, maybe we could fix Jasmine Crockett up with that filthy mouth guy from Ohio there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Open social media and you'll mistakenly believe vaping looks harmless. You'll see friends doing fit checks with a vape in hand.
I got the lime green vape to match the outfit.
Gamers taking a celebratory Nick hit after a win.
That's how you do it. Time for a puff.
Or nighttime routines of a hit before bed.
Getting ready with me and my vape.
But you almost never see the consequences behind the screen.
You okay, dude?
Where's my vape?
The nicotine in vapes is as addictive as cocaine or heroin. Vaping is ugly behind the screen. Get the facts at thefactsnow.com.
You see this story out of Miami, right off the coast there, Miami Beach, where you had a Lamborghini Technomar, which is a high-end yacht, really like a speedboat, more so of a speedboat than a yacht, but it's worth about $4 million. Dylan, you ever seen one of those things? It's a really nice boat.
Can't say I have.
You didn't see it out on Pickwick, Lake Pickwick.
No.
It's a $4 million boat. So they had all these social media influencers, around 30 of them, all in bikinis. And very clearly, they had injections in certain body parts. And there's apparently a weight limit for people to get on board this Lamborghini luxury yacht. And it's only, I mean, you can only have, I think 7 or 8 people max. So there's some sort of you're not able to put that many people on the boat. So anyway, they had over 30 people and they overloaded the boat and the boat flipped over. The $4 million boat filled with bikini clad social media influencers. And by the way, I can't think of a more terrible afternoon than spending a day in a boat with social media influencers who are all about posing with their pouty lips, taking the selfies. According to the New York Post, and this is where it gets troubling. Fortunately, there was a Good Samaritan nearby because when the girls ended up in the water, because of the buoyancy of their inflated butts, they all had the life jackets on, but they were kind of like bouncing around like a bob, like when you're going fishing. So it didn't really seem to matter. They had the life jackets on. The butts automatically shot to the top. So, I mean, it could have been a very dangerous situation. You could have a lot of people drown, you know, because their butts were injected. Yet another reason not to get butt injections. And then there were others that had other parts, and, well, you know, you can just imagine how that looked. Anyway, the Coast Guard and a Good Samaritan boat swooped in to get everybody off safely. Here's what cracks me up, though. It's as if they were unfazed. They had just sunk a $4 million Lamborghini yacht, and they're still taking photos. Among those on board, former Miss America competitor Reagan Hartley, who was able to save a MacBook as well as a $350 bottle of tequila. The pricey booze was cradled by the former Miss America on a rescue boat as someone else shouted, "The baby's safe!" Well, I'm glad somebody was having a good time. So they're posting all these photographs, and nobody seems to be concerned about the sinking yacht. I just don't get this. They're literally on board the yacht, and they're taking selfies. What is wrong with this generation? Unbelievable. So there you have it. Wow. After the group got off the sinking yacht, a woman posted a video of the Lambo boat nearly submerged with only the front of the boat still peeking through. How did this happen? Another woman can be heard saying in a second video posted by, aerial dance instructor Anita Ayala. Can't say I know of her work. Maybe she's going to be down at the Pink Pony in Memphis. I hear they have an all-you-can-eat buffet. Anyway, there you have it, folks. You know, here's the tragedy, and this really is sad. But and we've seen this with a couple of the plane crashes where there actually have been survivors, where you're lucky to get off the plane because everybody's taking out their cell phones and they're doing selfies of them being evacuated off the plane. One of these days, that's going to backfire big time. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. I will say this, the butt injections, they make you buoy it. I think that's they kind of look the buoys in the water there. This story from Fox Business, ladies and gentlemen. Student loan borrowers in default begin facing debt collections. People are freaking out over this. Millions of student loan borrowers are in default and will start receiving notices today that they're being put into collections. The move comes after the Department of Education said that it's trying to protect U.S. taxpayers from shouldering the cost of federal student loans that borrowers willingly undertook to finance their post-secondary education. So a question here, folks. We're talking about 42.7 million people. 42.7 million people, and they owe $1.6 trillion in student debt. More than 5 million of those have not made a monthly payment in over 360 days. Many for more than 7 years, by the way, they've been in default on these loans. So the question is very simple, because people are outraged. The kids are outraged. Who do they think they are? I don't have that kind of money. Well, get a second job. But then I won't be able to go get my lattes. Well, maybe you should drink Folgers. It's good to the last drop and cheaper. I'm just saying that sooner or later, you got to pay back what you owe. In essence, these students, if you're in default, that means you stole. You stole money from the American taxpayers, and we want it back. So now you've got a growing movement of people saying that we need to be forgiving these student loans, that we should not have expected the people to live up to their obligations and to pay back what they owe. And I'm curious to hear thoughts on this, ladies and gentlemen. A lot of the people are saying they can barely afford to make ends meet now. They won't be able to do so if they have to pay back a student loan or if this goes into collections. So the government could very well end up garnishing the pay of all of these deadbeats. And I say deadbeats because you got a dollar, right? You got $5. Or let's just say this. Let's just say you're broke. But you know what? I bet you got money to go to McDonald's a couple of times a month. Why not take that money and apply it to your loan? At least it appears or gives the appearance at least that you're trying to pay back what you owe. But these people aren't even doing that. And why should the American taxpayer, why should we be footing the bill for your degree in lesbian studies? Why should we do that? Why should we be responsible? So a question, ladies and gentlemen, do we forgive the debts? Do we make people pay them back? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I want you to listen to this young lady, or this gentleman, by the way, Armstrong Williams. And Armstrong is pointing out he's dropping some truth bombs on all these millennials who say they should not have to pay back their loans. Take a listen.
Former President Joe Biden's student loan forgiveness lies have finally come home to roost. And boy, is it creating havoc. Forgiving student debt would be a great gift to graduates, but so would having your mortgages, car loans, and credit card debt forgiven. Debt forgiveness is a slap in the face to all who sacrifice and work extra jobs to pay off their student loans. college students literally secured these loans to live off while spending money on high-end materialism and other things. Student loan forgiveness does not address the larger problem of soaring college tuition costs. People should never assume their debt is canceled again and again, which encourages you to take out more debt up front. That would give more colleges more pricing power to raise tuition without pressure and to offer more low-value degrees. Under Biden's plan, would just be giving money to elites as people who do not have a post-secondary education and thus do not hold student debt are likely to come from a poorer family than their debt-ridden counterparts. This is just something for the elitists that you see out protesting. Many of them, 60 to 70% of them, come from middle-class and wealthy families. I mean, are you kidding me? What makes you think that somebody's going to pay off your debt for you? What about accountability and responsibility? I mean, what is going on? I think the biggest shock is what we're learning about how vast the government and tentacles are and what they do and what they support and what they fund and the waste, fraud, and abuse. It's just crazy. I'm Armstrong Williams.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, it really is that bad. Can you imagine just one day deciding, you know, go down to the bank and tell your banker, tell the mortgage loan officer, you know what? Hey, I'm done here. I'm not paying anything back. You got to figure out another way to, but I'm not paying any of this back. Or you go out and you get a car loan and then you decide, you know what? I'm good. I'm not paying anything back. I mean, that's what these people are doing. If you did that, you would be evicted from your home. They would foreclose on your home. They would come and they would get the repo man and they would take your car away. But you've got a generation here, and this is a frightening number. By the way, most of them are women. Most of them are millennial women, and they feel like they are the victims here. They're the ones who feel like that you owe them, that it's your fault that they went out there and they got these degrees that could not generate any income. I mean, you've got folks out there that have over $200,000 in loan debt. By the way, nobody forced them with a gun to put their names to the paper. And did anybody bother to read? Because the other part of it is the interest rates. Well, I'm not going to pay. I didn't sign up for the interest rates. Did you bother to read the documents that you were signing? Did you bother to do that? Take a listen.
Oh, and another thing, you can sell FAFSA to go on right to hell. And I'll meet them there. I'm not giving y'all a cent of my money, okay? Money that I don't have, by the way. But even if I did have the money to pay for it, you're still not getting it. Y'all the one that forced us to go in the first place, telling us that if we didn't go to college, we weren't going to amount to nothing. And, you know, going to college is better than having a trade. And, you know, if you want to have this amount of money, then you need to... All lies. All lies. Most of us are unemployed. Most of us are working in fields that have nothing to do with our degree. And you want my money. You can take that up with whoever you need to take it up with. Take it up with Jesus. I heard he paid it all. That's what they've been telling me. They say he paid it all and I'm going to let him pay it. So.
Wow. Well, I'll give her this. To that point, she makes one good point. It was Barack Hussein Obama for eight years. He told young American kids, you would be worthless if you went to a trade school. He told the young people of America that if they did not go to college, they would not amount to anything in life. And a lot of these kids, they believed him. They worshiped Barack Hussein Obama like he was their Lord and Savior. They called him Chicago Jesus. But it turns out that Obama was not Jesus. He was the great deceiver. He was the evil one. And a lot of kids got fooled by this guy. But the reality is, it's America. You are responsible for your own actions. You sign your name on the document, and you are the one who's responsible. And I hate it for a lot of these kids because they were deceived by Barack Obama. They realize now that maybe they didn't need that $200,000 degree. Maybe they would have been better off going to a community college. Maybe they would have been better off going to some sort of a trade school. And they could have gotten a job that actually pays their bills. Because now not only can these kids, a lot of these kids, not repay what they owe, a lot of them don't even have jobs. A lot of them are still living at home with mom and dad. And that is a sad thing. And I'm telling you, it is a massive, I mean, I told you, I just shared with you the numbers. We're talking about 42 million Americans who simply refuse to pay back or cannot pay back their loans. That's just shocking. Let's go to Kathy in Salem, Oregon, listening to us on KYKN. Hey, Kathy, what do you make of all of this?
Well, have you ever seen interviews with the kids down at spring break?
Oh, yeah. Panama City, the kids going out the... Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Every time I see those, the reporter asks, well, where are you getting all the money? She said, student loan. I think it's ridiculous to give 18, 19-year-olds that much money to use as they want. I think we ought to just, if they're going to take a loan, I think we need to pay the school instead of handing cash over. Do you know what I mean?
Well, when you get that much cash to an 18 or 19-year-old, it's going to the local liquor store.
Yeah, or travel.
Or travel,
I've heard them say they went, when they do those interviews, I've heard them say, yeah, I've been to the Bahamas and blah, 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 blah. So that's what I think. And about Michelle Obama, so she was having a fit because it's so expensive she has to buy her own groceries. Who was going to buy her groceries if she wasn't at the White House?
Well, possibly the taxpayers. You know, she married Barack and he didn't have a nickel to his name. Get some of that government cheese, I guess.
I guess.
It's, look, this thing really, it bothers me because the Obamas did such harm to this country, and especially this millennial generation, Kathy. I mean, these kids, I mean, a lot of them, they're not going to be able to pay back their loans, and I'm afraid a lot of them are going to find their paychecks garnished over the next 30 days.
Yeah.
Well, I hate it for them. They bought, you know what, this is, I mean, Obama, he was their Lord and Savior. Those kids worshipped that man, worshipped him. And they believed everything he said.
Yep, because he was so cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's it. Chicago Jesus. All right, Kathy, thank you for that. But Kathy's got a great point here. I mean, you're going to give these kids all that student loan money? You think they're going to pay for school with it? No. They're going down to Panama City Beach. That's where they're going. They're going down to Miami. And that's exactly what they've been doing. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Now, Newsmax, 5 o'clock Eastern, we've got a great show lined up for you. Newsmax, by the way, just went public on the New York Stock Exchange and listed on the big board. Millions of Americans like you are joining our news revolution. Reuters says Newsmax is now one of the top 12 news brands in America. Even President Trump says it's terrific. 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax, and its audience grew 50% since the same time last year. Millions really are making the switch to Newsmax. Now, if you want to be a Newsmax share owner, call your advisor or get more information at NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. Stand with Newsmax today for a strong America. Now, this communication is for informational purposes only and shall not be intended to and shall not constitute an offer to buy or sell securities, nor shall there be any sale of securities in any jurisdiction in which such offer, solicitation, or sale would be unlawful. All right, folks, stick around. We've got more coming your way. But in the meantime, I want to encourage you to head over right now to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or Books a Million and pre-order a copy of my brand new book. It'll be in bookstores June 17th. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. We want as many of you as possible to pre-order a copy of the book, and you can do that right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy your books. Stick around, everybody. Hour 3 of The Big Show coming up next.
From the the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee. It's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, this creepy story out of Arizona. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Happy to have you with us today. So, according to Fox 10 News out of Phoenix, there was a gruesome murder involving a pastor in New River, Arizona. He is the pastor of the New River Bible Chapel. The man's name is Bill Schoeneman. He was known locally as Pastor Bill, had been there for a very long time. In Maricopa County, by the way, this is in Arizona. The pastor's body found inside his home around 7:30 p.m. Multiple sources are confirming to Fox how he was found. And just a heads up here, I won't go into graphic detail, but the information is very disturbing. The pastor was found in the bedroom of his home. He was 76 years old. He was found in the bedroom of his home, and his arms were spread out, and his hands were pinned to the wall. He appeared to have significant injuries. It sounds as if the guy was, crucified in his bedroom. The Maricopa County Sheriff's Office is not saying much, will not confirm if a suspect is in custody or reveal any official cause of death or a motive. It only says there are unique, specific circumstances to the case. That's weird. They also say there is no threat to the community. What they are saying, well, people are stunned. Mike Anders lived next to Pastor Bill for 12 years, and he says all the neighbors are at a loss for words. He says Pastor Bill was friendly, always waving at others, wanting to talk, and had a passion for building trucks. The 76-year-old pastor lived on Calvary Road. Jeez, Alou. Without much information, some people in the small community are on edge. Mr. Anders said, we locked our doors last night. It's just something that we are just not used to doing. Everybody is just, until we know what's going on, we don't know if it was a family member or we don't know what, who could do this to him. Neighbors and friends are adamant that they don't know of anyone who would want to hurt their sweet, kind pastor. So there you go. What a weird story. The pastor pretty much crucified there in his bedroom. It's unbelievable. We'll keep you updated on this, but it certainly sounds as if the police know who did it or they've got a pretty good idea what the motive here is. Can we talk about, wow, we've got to talk about it, Jasmine Crockett, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Jasmine Crockett. She went to Tougaloo College down in Mississippi, and that's a historically black school. And she was invited to be the commencement address speaker, the commencement speaker. And she gave a doozy. First of all, well, I'll set this up for you. She was explaining to the children graduating there at Tougaloo about what they need to be doing once they graduate. And basically, she told them to beat the holy living you-know-what out of people with folding chairs. Not in so many words, but you got to kind of read between the lines here. Cut 10.
There are going to be people that tell you that you don't belong, and I am here to tell you over and over and over that you absolutely belong. There are people that are going to tell you that there is not a table in which there is a seat for you, but I am here to remind you of Montgomery and those folding chairs. Let me tell you that we know how to use a chair. whether we pulling it up or we doing something else with it. Let me be the first one to tell you that I know that y'all are ready to put your boots on the ground. That's your cue. There we go.
I don't know. Where them fans at? Anybody know? Where them fans at? I don't know. You know, that's never good when they miss the cue. I don't believe I've ever heard a commencement address end with a song like that, but okay, whatever floats your boat. So anyway, President Trump was brought up Jasmine Crockett and all of her shucking and jiving during an interview over the weekend. Cut 15, please.
I could name 10, 15, 20 people right now just sitting here. No, I think we have a tremendous party. And you know what I can't name? I can't name one Democrat. I mean, I look at the Democrats. They're in total disarray. They have a new person named Crockett. I watched her speak the other day. She's definitely a low IQ person. And they said, she's the future of the party. I said, you have to be kidding. I don't know what they're going to do. And I really believe in a two-party system. Because it's good to be challenged. It's really good to have a two-party. You know, it's good. Being challenged is okay. It keeps you sharp. I don't know what they're going to do. They have nobody. Bernie's 87 years old or something. And, you know, Biden is the worst thing that ever happened to old people because he was grossly incompetent. And I think maybe for artificial reasons, you know, he had operations and things. So maybe that's an artificial. But I know people that are unbelievably sharp and they're older than 87. But I watch Bernie Sanders. He's a nut job, but he's still sharp. He's sharp as he's the same guy he was. He hasn't gone down. But Biden is really, he's the worst thing to happen to old people.
That's true. And this thing about Jasmine Crockett being a low IQ person, I think there may be something to this. I mean, the woman acts like she's playing the villain in a Tyler Perry movie, for crying out loud. And she was supposedly educated at some of the most exclusive schools in the nation. So anyway, Jasmine Crockett is firing back now, and she's taking great umbrage at President Trump. And I'll do my best to read this to you because Crockett wrote this on X. I may need a little musical help here. Maybe some shucking and jiving. For you to be in charge of the whole country, you sure do have your name in your mouth a lot. Every time you say my name, you're reminded the world that you're terrified of the smart, bold, uppercase black women telling the truth and holding you accountable. So keep your talking, Donald. Wow. She reminds me a lot of Aunt Esther from the Sanford and Son days. I loved Aunt Esther. I don't, not so much Jasmine Crockett. Anyway, Jasmine Crockett's very upset with President Trump. She said, keep your talking. Keep talking. Jeez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. You know, some days you just wonder, what's wrong with people like Jasmine Crockett? Why does she really believe? I mean, is she after the clicks? Is she really believing the shucking and the jiving that she's selling? Is that what's going on here? She and Michelle Obama, two peas in the same pod, ladies and gentlemen. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. So we got a call from a listener, didn't want to come on air. And said, Todd, you're insulting, you're offensive with your Jasmine Crockett routine. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the whole point of that, I want to try to explain this to you as I slurp on a delicious Ricola Swiss Alpine herb. These allergies, I'm telling you, folks, they're gonna be the death of me, I say. The death of me. Anyway, the reason I do that is because my fake voice, my fake Jasmine Crockett voice, is just as offensive as the fake voice that Jasmine Crockett uses. She is attempting to play the race card. She is attempting to be, dare I say, faux ghetto. And I'm not quite sure why. But that's who she is. And it's really sad because a lot of young people look up to people like Jasmine Crockett. And they want to emulate that. And we don't need more of that in Washington, D.C. Let's go to Arkansas. Toad Suck Scott joins us. Toad Suck, speak to me, sir.
Hey, Todd. You know, I just want to say this really fast, if you don't mind. First of all, it's about this Jasmine is a crock it. Here's the thing, Todd. She goes on to this and has this nice speech set up. Okay, you've got all these people getting ready to graduate, to go out into the world. She could say, hey, it's going to be tough. You're going to do well. You've got the necessary tools. All you have to do is believe in yourself and fight for what you need. All you have to do is believe in what you've got, and you will succeed. But no, she wants to make it about some type of political rally and some type of riot. So, you know, and then bring up race. Some of these people will graduate probably making more money than me, and I'm white. So it doesn't matter. This is ridiculous, and this is exactly what the left wants. She did exactly what she was supposed to do. And you know it, and I know it.
Oh, they want a race war. I mean, that's really what they want. They want you to believe that this country is worse off and treats black people, minorities, worse than they did back when slavery was in existence. I mean, that's how insane this is, Toad Suck. Now, I'm going to play something for you. I'm glad you brought that up. I want to play this audio. This is Jasmine Crockett. And she's explaining what the word DEI really stands for. Take a listen.
And instead of publicly calling us the N-word, they use racist epithets and suggest that we're ghetto or unqualified or diversity hires, even though we're all more, oftentimes than not, more educated and qualified than they are.
All right. That's the same speech. Toad Suck. So you're absolutely right. That's exactly what she was trying to do.
Well, Todd, real quick, you know what? You know who pushes more DEI? You know who believes that their people can't do? It's the left. It's not the right. We know they can do it. We know they can get out there and succeed. They're the ones that are trying to take away what they have and say, well, you can't do that because you're black. We can't let you do that. We've got to help you. That's exactly what they're doing.
Well, you've got an entire political party that's creating one large swath of the population and declaring that they are the oppressed, and that the other group, we are the oppressors. That is an intentional and slippery slope to an all-out race war in this country. It may not happen this year, may not happen next year, but it's coming because of this nonsense, this DEI critical race theory nonsense they're spewing into the brains of our kids.
Well, one of the worst depressions I've got right now is having to listen to her, so I cut her off.
Well, I understand. I understand, Toad Suck. All right, thank you, sir. Toad Suck Scott out of Arkansas. A lot of common sense coming out of Arkansas. I'll tell you that much. All right, President Trump was just asked by the Fox News reporterette over at the White House about dressing up as the Pope, this AI photo of the Pope. Here's what the president had to say.
We Catholics were not so happy about the image of you looking like the Pope.
Oh, I see. You mean they can't take a joke? You don't mean the Catholics. You mean the fake news media. Not the Catholics loved it. I had nothing to do with it. Somebody made up a picture of me dressed like the Pope, and they put it out on the Internet. That's not me that did it. I have no idea where it came from. Maybe it was AI. But I know nothing about it. I just saw it last evening. Actually, my wife thought it was cute. She said, isn't that nice?
My question about
actually,
it.
Actually, I would not be able to be married, though. That would be a lot. I'd have to the best of my knowledge, popes aren't big on getting married, are they? Not that we know of, no. No, I think it's the fake news media that, you know, they're fakers.
My question, though, sir, was about the fact that it was put out on the White House account, even though it was AI generated, it was a joke, it was a meme. Does it at all diminish the substance of the official White House account to have it go out on that particular channel?
Give me a break. It was just somebody did it in fun. It's fine. Have to have a little fun, don't you?
Yeah, you do, Mr. President. But that is Jackie Heimrich. She's one of the far lefties that work at Fox. She's over on the news side of the operation. By the way, I will say this. The news side of Fox News Channel is just as liberal as CNN or MSDNC. I'll tell you that much. You know, it's true, though. I forgot about that. He can't be Pope because you're right. You can't be married. I'm not sure the president would be able to survive. You don't want to do that, Mr. President. So anyway, the president said, look, the average Catholic out there, you guys didn't have a problem with it. And I'm curious to hear from you. Do you have a problem with the fact that there was this AI image? And by the way, it was shared by the official White House account. So the president does have to kind of own it. I just don't see what the big deal is here. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. So look, I want to play this audio from Governor J.B. Pritzker. He is the rotund governor of Illinois, and he's been out there calling for mass protest, and he's been doubling down and tripling down on this kind of language. He is now becoming, and I think Pritzker here sees that there's a lot of anger within the young and restless Democrats, these young Gen Zers and millennials. And these are a violent bunch of people, and they believe they're on a just cause because they've been taught, brainwashed really, in their public schools to believe that you and I are like little modern-day Nazis, the offspring of Hitler. And that's what they've been brainwashed to believe. So Pritzker sees this as an opportunity that if he can become this authoritarian-style figure, that he may very well see a path to the White House on the Democrat side of the aisle. So anyway, he's doubling down on all of this. I want you to listen to cut number eight, please.
Let me ask you about something specifically that you said in the speech, and I think this is kind of what the thing that got people fired up. You said, it is time to fight everywhere and all at once. You called for mass protests. There were mass protests today.
Yeah.
What does that mean, fight everywhere and all at once? I mean, what should we do?
Well, I think everybody understands that at this point, we've got an authoritarian in office. He's essentially tearing apart the things that really matter to working families across the United States. And nobody's stopping him. And the Congress is under the control of his party. They're all paying homage to him at all times. No one's willing to break with him, even though they're taking away health care from millions of people across the United States and threatening Social Security. So I guess, you know, the question is, what can you do in mm-hmm. that circumstance? And the only thing, in my view, that we really can do on a national level is let them know about our displeasure, because none of those Republicans in Congress, you know, are you know, they know they're up for re-election mm-hmm. in 2026. And if they don't know how much resistance there is out there in their own district.
And that's the key right there, the resistance. I'm telling you, folks, it's getting ugly out there. All right, hang tight. We'll be right back. All right. Well, the Today Show has an interesting story up. The case against Mother's Day. Why many moms would just rather not. Is that true, moms of the Todd Stearns radio show listening audience? Is that true that you would rather not have a Mother's Day celebration? According to Today.com, Danielle Campionor is the author. In 2021, Yahoo and YouGov polled 1,500 people, 30% men, 30% women, and they said they were not going to be celebrating Mother's Day that year. Some blame the pandemic, but even without a pandemic, reading from the Today Show, for many, Mother's Day is just another item on the never-ending to-do list. Really? I thought it was a day to celebrate mom and to burn toast and serve her that delicious toast in bed and with a glass of orange juice freshly squeezed. Hannah Murphy, 35, says, we end up being the ones having to travel and plan and prepare and rearrange schedules to accommodate multiple family members. That's just not how I want to spend a day that is supposed to be about celebrating my role as a mother. Shelley Brasher, 41, agrees, telling Today that as the planner and organizer of the family, Mother's Day is more exhausting than enjoyable. For me, it's just an extra thing I have to do. Mrs. Brasher, the mother of two in Texas, it feels like pressure to me. I'd rather just not do it. It feels like we have all these holidays, and it's just more and more. In 2022, a survey of 1,200 moms with children still living at home found that what moms want most for Mother's Day is a nap. After a nap, moms said they wanted a meal they didn't have to cook and for someone else to clean their home. Murphy said she wanted a day of mental, physical, and emotional rest. Jeez, Lou, what's up with the mothers? I don't want to have to make any decisions or travel unless it's to a beach with a tiki bar or cook or clean or work. I just want my mind and body to just be. In 2023, Today.com surveyed over 600 moms. 60% said they'd rather have alone time on Mother's Day than time with their family. Jeez. Sorry, kids, get away from me. I don't want your stinking gifts. Get away from me. Leave me alone. The same survey found 51% of more than 400 voters don't want their family to do anything for them on Mother's Day. They just want the holiday to be treated as a normal day. Oh, geez, Alou. Is that true, ladies? Is Mother's Day, is it a burden for you to be celebrated and honored and, dare I say, worshipped by your children? Unbelievable. One Tennessee mom said that the good intentions behind Mother's Day don't translate into actual appreciation for all that mothers do. Oh, boy. Wait, that's it? That's it, Billy? You just gave me a card. That's how you show your love for me. The woman who spent 16 hours in labor, and that's all I get is a card? Man, mothers these days. Jeez, Lou. This Tennessee mom goes on to say that the good intentions behind Mother's Day don't translate into actual appreciation, especially in a country without mandatory paid family leave, access to affordable child care, and with the highest maternal mortality rates of any developed nation. Oh, she's a woke far leftist Karen. Why did they just say so? I think it's a slap in the face to claim that mothers are valued when we are so often underestimated, underappreciated, and undervalued. But you're still supposed to be a mom, right? Mom? Get away from me. I gave birth to you, but I don't have to like you. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Joanne, are you a bad mother?
Apparently so, but you know what? It is what it is. I'm going to Publix for Mother's Day. I want my pub sub.
Oh, the shopping, the grocery store.
Yes, I want my pub sub. I want my carrot cake, and that's all I want.
So
I'm leaving.
So you're going to, so we don't have Publix in the Memphis area, so I take it you're going somewhere where they do have a Publix.
Yes. It's close to Nashville and Brentwood.
Oh, that's very nice. That's a lovely area.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of these kinds of surveys where mothers basically say we hate our families?
I don't think it's saying that. It's just that sometimes we just want a break. And you had mentioned all of the holidays that continue to that just keep happening. We're the ones that have the brunt of the responsibilities, you know, setting things up, prepping a menu, grocery shopping, getting everything prepared. And, you know, we end up spending more time working rather than relaxing.
But isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
That's the way it always is. That's why I'm just going somewhere else. I'll see them when I get back.
All right. So do your children even know where to find you, or are you just escaping? No. You're turning all the phones off.
They know where I'm going, but they won't be able to come see me because I'll be 3.5 hours away.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. Putting some distance between. Okay, I see.
I need a little break.
Well, all right. Well, this is good to know. Joanne, thank you for calling in, and safe travels to you as you enjoy the Publix sandwich. I have heard that this sandwich at Publix, the sub is like, it's legendary. I've never had one of these things, but people apparently say they go to Publix, the grocery store chain, just for the sub. So if any of you folks can attest to that, I've never had one. So I'm not sure what makes it good. I'm not a big Subway sandwich guy. I got turned off by Subway, to be honest with you, which are basically their sandwiches. Their Subway sandwiches at Subway are basically lettuce sandwiches. That's all they really are. It's not very tasty. 901-260-5926. I'm curious to hear from you moms out there over these surveys. Do you really want to take Mother's Day off? I mean, do you just not want to celebrate Mother's Day? Got to take a break. We'll be right back. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Lisa in Georgia. Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just wanted to say that my son is 19. He'll be 20 in August. And I've always loved Mother's Day. I've been a single mom almost 20 years. But my son's not going to be with me for his birthday nor for Mother's Day because he's in the U.S. Army and he's in another country. And these mothers should be ashamed of themselves. I would love to see my son on Mother's Day. And I would love to make him a meal. They've got it all wrong. They've got it all wrong. It hurts me to hear those women say that. It really does. When they don't have their child, maybe they'll think twice about what they're saying. It really hurts me, Todd.
It's really sad, Lisa, because I do wonder, I mean, when you look at the survey numbers, really what the state of the American family is. I mean, is that slowly becoming the norm in our culture where, you know, most families don't even share a meal together now? So I shouldn't be surprised by this.
My family's never been like that. We've always been a family. We'll always be a family. We're proud of my son for defending each and every one of those mothers and their children.
Well,
they're wrong. They're wrong on that nuclear family. They need to be together and be happy and not go to Publix and not need breakfast in bed. They need to just be with their child, to be happy about being a mother. Not everybody can be a mother.
Lisa, tell me about your son. He's 19 years old, and he joined up.
He did join up, and he is out of the country right now on his first deployment. And I miss him like crazy.
Oh, I bet you do. But you've got to feel good knowing that Secretary Hegseth is running the Pentagon.
He loves it. He loves Trump. We love Trump. I'm so proud of him. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, you're
exactly where he needs to be. I'm very proud of him. But I do miss him, and I will miss him on Mother's Day.
Well, Lisa, you tell him that we said hello and we thank him for his great service. And you sound like a great mom, and you got a great family there, Lisa.
Thank you, Todd. I appreciate that, and I certainly will. He knows exactly who you are.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. I love to hear that, and what a great family. And I can't even begin to imagine. I mean, that's going to be tough. You know, you've got your son out. He's in the military. Going to miss the birthday. Going to miss Mother's Day. Yeah, I can understand. That is going to be a tough one. Let's go to Fred in North Carolina. Hi, Fred. What's on your mind?
How are you doing, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you, Fred.
Good. Todd, thank you for bringing that article up for that conversation about the Mother's Day. My thought is that it's like shame on the men and the kids for not doing all those things for mom. All these gals are calling up and saying it's no different. It's more work than it should be. And mom, those gals are right from the perspective that how do you honor someone and then give them more work to do? that's just my opinion. My girls, they took care of the meals. They took care of whatever it is that we did. And my wife, Linda, had not to do anything at all on Mother's Day. That was the goal, was to honor her. And I wonder if the people they were polling are like maybe from the left side of the country or something instead of polling conservatives. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
You know, that's a good question. And I did wonder about that because most of the moms I know, they love it. They love, even if it's not, you know, the greatest meal in the world, it's really the thought that goes into it. Right, Fred?
I agree.
Yeah. Wow. All right. Well, Fred, thank you for that story. And I suspect there are a lot more people out there that feel the way you do, Fred. Thank you for that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. Dylan, have you got your mom a present yet? You can't wait till the last day now.
No, yeah, I've something in the works. So,
all right, don't say what it is because she listens to the, you know, the show.
I will not spoil it.
All right, I'm just going to tell you right now, folks, and I am if you want to wow your mom, I'm just telling you, and they're not paying me to say this either. They should, but they don't. But I love these people, and they have some of the best product in the world. Our friends at Dinstals in Memphis, if you really want to show your mom just how sweet she is, this is the way to do it. Go to Dinstals.com, and I'm telling you, they've got some delicious homemade candies. They've been here over 100 years, and every time, and I know because I hear from them, you guys light up their phones every time I talk about them. It's Dinstuhls. Dinstals.com. Family run, family owned since 1902. They've been making chocolate here in Memphis. And man, do they have some delicious products, especially for Mother's Day. So you can get all sorts of great stuff. Everything is homemade. Everything. But may I just recommend the chocolate covered strawberries? Your mother will love you for the rest of your life. It doesn't matter what you do. As bad as you may be, she's going to remember that you gave her chocolate-covered strawberries from Dinstals, and she'll forgive you. I mean, I'm serious about this. Dinstals.com, go and check them out. And they overnight stuff, so you can still get them. I am slurping on this Ricola. Is it coming across on the airwaves? It is. This is terrible. But it's better than coughing, ladies and gentlemen. So anyway, go and get them. I recommend the chocolate-covered strawberries, but they've got truffles the whole nine yards, and you're just going to love them, and they're good people, which is even better. All right, 901-260-5926. Now I'm self-conscious. I can hear it, Dylan.
It's just a little bit, but you do have a cough, so it's very understandable.
Sweet mercy. All right, I've got to play this audio. As crazy as things are here, it's nowhere near as bad as it is in the U.K., they've been completely overrun by the Islamists. I mean, it's insane. And now they're looking at throwing Christian preachers in jail. This is from one of the news agencies there in the UK. Cut 14.
Now, the Labour-ran Rushmore Borough Council has sparked outrage by proposing a sweeping injunction that could see Christian street preachers in prison for up to 2 years if the injunction is breached. Now, over claims of causing offence or distress. Now, under the proposed terms, Christians will be banned from praying for individuals, handing out religious leaflets or Bibles by hand, and laying hands on people in prayer, even with their permission.
This is insane. What's happening here is just unbelievable. But this is the reality of what happens when you allow your country to be taken over by the Islamists. And that's what's happening right now across the UK. The idea that even if you're just outside praying with somebody, you could go to jail. That is reality right now in the UK, ladies and gentlemen. I've never seen anything like it. And we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I've got a lot to say about it because we are watching the Islamists literally take over countries across Western Europe right now. And it is bad news. It is bad news for Christians. As you just heard in that news report, how many Christians, and it's not just the Islamists, it's really a double whammy. You have the radical LGBT activists, and they're trying to shut down Christianity. As a matter of fact, it is a crime to misgender somebody in parts of the UK right now. That's how bad it is. All right, real quick, let's try to work in Miguel here, who's calling in from Patriot Talk 920 in Texas. And Miguel, I understand you've got some intel on the Publix deli.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous. Never called into a radio station, but yeah, I lived in Florida for years. The difference between Subways and Publix is Publix, you get everything that's at the deli. You can get it like, all cut up. Everything's fresh. All the condiments fresh. The bread is bigger. And like I said, you could go all the way down to a simple bologna and cheese sandwich if you want.
Is that right?
Yep.
So I've always been intrigued by this because I've just heard nothing but rave reviews from Publix.
Yeah, they're great. And then I haven't been in Florida in like 8 years, but they sometimes have like a 2 for half or 2 for 1. And there's just like a line out of the door of the deli just to get in for their sandwiches.
Well, I'll be darned. All right. You know what, Miguel? Next time I'm on the road, I'm going to make a point to stop by a Publix. I may tell our host, you got to take me to the Publix so I can get a deli sandwich. And they may say, you know what? That's the best choice you've made, Starnes.
Yep. And also some of the Publixes right next to the deli right there, they'll have a hot section too. Also, so Publix is awesome.
All right, Miguel, I'll tell you, you did a great job first time on the radio. Well done, sir.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, Miguel. Hey, give us a holler back one of these days. That music means we've got to scoot out of here. Folks, always fun to hear from our great listeners across the nation. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. Be sure to watch. You're going to love it. Get out there and be good, America.